Good morning. Good to see you in the house of worship, whether that be here in person or also joining us online. And another beautiful day the Lord has given to us, and we're thankful for that. Again, what we say, there are many hardships that are going on in this world. One thing that still remains constant and helps us through those hardships is God's mercy. Would you say that building relationships with our fellow human beings is important? If it is, and it is, why do we at times struggle to make those relationships? While there are many factors involved into why it is difficult, it is important for us to identify what our excuses which keep us from making those connections with our fellow human beings, and also identify ways that we can not have excuses, but rather ways to find ways to implement making connections with one another, with the goal, the ultimate goal, of sharing the hope, who is Jesus, with them. Why that is urgent, why that is important, is something we'll continue to build on throughout our worship this morning. We have a special guest among us this morning sharing God's word with us and the importance of building connections throughout the world, Pastor Missionary Joel Nitz, who served ministry in the state of Washington, but now will also be sharing the gospel in Vietnam, and we'll let him share more information during the service and after the service, as he will be doing the Bible study hour, talking about the work that he has been called to do. God bless us then in our worship of him. I invite your attention now to page 3 as we continue with our invocation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
The Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Thank you.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord,
for the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. A reading from Holy Scripture, the prophet Isaiah, 52nd chapter. We have very good news to share, news which makes your feet beautiful. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Join our psalm for today on the next page, Psalm 98. As you yourself treasure your forgiveness, let us be willing to forgive and to also speak up about the benefits of forgiveness. A reading from Holy Scripture, 2 Corinthians 2. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him, so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Contemplate the rejoicing that is taking place in heaven and why that is happening. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we all join in our hymn today.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his rich mercy has given us new birth into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Today we celebrate the victory of Christ in bringing his gospel to Vietnam by looking at our text from the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. You'll see it printed in your service folder. I invite you to read the text with me. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ our Savior, friends of world missions, the Lord added more. How many more? Never enough. Never enough. For God would have all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. The Lord God does not desire the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his ways and live. God is patient with the world, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The Lord added more, but never enough. The Lord always wants to add more. What should he do? Subtract? Take away? The Lord knows the condition of the world and everything that will happen until Jesus returns. He knows the love of most will grow cold, that a great apostasy will happen. The devil will have more influence in the world. More people will turn away from the Lord Jesus, and less will believe. But what does the Lord want? Does he want that to happen, even though he knows it will happen? No. He wants to add more. The Lord always adds more. The Lord added more, as you have seen here in California, here in your congregation, St. Mark's in Citrus Heights. You have seen the Lord add more souls to your congregation and your gospel outreach. You've witnessed it when you watch episodes of the Wells Connection. You have seen how the Lord added more in home and world missions. I have seen that in Vietnam. The Lord has added more to our outreach there. We work with a group called the Hmong Fellowship Church. At the beginning of our efforts with this group, they numbered about 55,000 members. Today, 130,000. The Lord keeps adding more. We celebrate this. We support it. We want the Lord to do his work until he has drawn to Jesus the very last elect person in this world, and then the end will come. But until then, as Jesus said, the gospel will reach all nations. The Lord added more. The Lord added more in Jerusalem. He added more to the church he established through the preaching of the apostles. It began on Pentecost, 50 days after the Lord had ascended. He sent the Holy Spirit. A large crowd gathered in response to the speaking in new languages and the tongues of fire. They heard a fiery message from Peter, who told them They had murdered the one God sent to them. Cut to the heart, they asked Peter, "What shall we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." The Lord added more. The Lord added 3,000 souls that day. The Lord added more to this group. He added joy. He added maturity. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The Lord added more of his teaching. The apostles taught the word. What did they teach? They taught what Jesus taught them. Jesus taught them from the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. The apostles addressed a group of Jewish background believers grown up in the synagogue and the temple courts who already knew the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Now they heard something new they had missed before, the message of Jesus in those parts of the scriptures. They couldn't get enough. They devoted themselves, they continually gathered that they might add more to what they knew about Jesus so they could grow in maturity and joy and share it with others. This led to the fellowship. Not simply friendship and getting together, but a spiritual fellowship established by the Holy Spirit through the scriptures that brought them to unity. Remember, in this group, you had people who opposed Jesus, who spoke against him and looked with favor upon his crucifixion. Now, the Holy Spirit has changed their perspective. They have become part of the fellowship of Jesus. From that fellowship came a maturity that allowed them to join in the breaking of bread, that is, the celebration of Holy Communion, as we will enjoy today. As the Spirit instructed them through the scriptures taught by the apostles, the Spirit brought them to agreement, understanding. Now they could receive the true body and blood of the Lord, the one they had killed and crucified, now for their forgiveness. It led to prayer. The Lord added more, for they responded now. Prayers in the name of Jesus, the living Savior, heard by the Lord their God, adding to their joy. The Lord kept adding more. In the account we have here from Luke, he says it made an impression in the city of Jerusalem. Everyone was filled with awe at the signs and wonders performed by the apostles. The Lord added more. He added signs and wonders. He gave special testimony through the power of the Spirit so the apostles could heal and raise the dead and help people in their time of need. This confirmed the understanding of those new to the Christian faith to give them strength. It gave a testimony to those outside the church that God had truly come through his servant Jesus. They should believe in him. The Lord added more. He keeps adding more. He adds signs and wonders that draw people to the gospel. In Vietnam, the Lord has not added these signs of the apostles' healings and resurrections and other miraculous things. He has added the miracle of his grace. The group that we work with already knew Jesus. They had received the message of the Lord through missionaries and radio programs. They knew Jesus as Savior without knowing Jesus in his grace. They thought of Jesus as the one they must now please, that they might become worthy and then receive blessings and benefits. When their pastors spoke to them from the pulpit, they received scoldings for their sinful lives and lessons in how to become less sinful, but not the message of grace. Frustrated, they looked for a true teaching and found it online with a sermon by a well-trained monk pastor here in the United States, and the first time they heard the grace of God, it delighted them. The Lord added more of that grace after they made the contact with this pastor, and he came to Vietnam to instruct them, and since that time, we've added more and more of God's grace. Everyone needs that grace. These new believers in Vietnam and all people. Grace is a gift of undeserved love. Grace that we have received through Jesus Christ. Should we have grace from God? We who, instead of devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, always find ourselves as the focus, serving ourselves, developing our own thoughts and ideas and ways. Should Jesus show grace to people who don't devote themselves fully to the teaching of his apostles? Instead of a fellowship developed by the Holy Spirit that brings us closer together, we'd much rather, as sinners, have a fellowship that serves us and our needs. Should Jesus show grace to people who've acted so selfishly instead of following his guidance? We'd rather have a luxurious 5-course dinner than the simple bread and wine that gives us the body and blood of Jesus. Should he declare us forgiven through this sacrament? And rather than prayer to the Almighty God to ask for help, we'd rather communicate with our phones to friends and family and ignore God. Should he bestow any kindness upon those who have neglected communication with him? But the Bible says, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. God increased his grace. He added more and more of grace that we might know his kindness and love. That through the apostles' teaching, he has revealed the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has revealed a servant of God so worthy and holy and perfect that his worthiness could count for all sinners. He has revealed a fellowship established by grace through Jesus in the blood of the Lord, whose blood has atoned for the sins of the world. And having brought them together, he gives them the grace, he gives us his grace in the means of grace, that as we receive his body and blood in the bread and wine, he declares each person forgiven, loved by God, receiving the grace of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. When we respond in prayer through the name of Jesus, in that almighty name, God's grace comes upon us and adds more and more. The Lord added more. He added more grace, grace upon grace. In the church in Jerusalem, as they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that produced a love in them that became remarkable, that everyone, all the believers, had everything in common, and they sold their property and possessions and gave to anyone as he had need. They did not follow a program of the apostles. The apostles didn't forbade what they did, or command them to do it. They acted freely as they had received God's grace and wanted to show love. They shared everything they had. This became a mark of the church, one that Jesus himself spoke of. By this all people will know you are my disciples if you love one another. The Lord added more love, more kindness, and it drove them to want more and more of what God gave them through the apostles' teaching, so that the record here tells us every day they met in the temple courts and received the apostles' teaching. They met in the same place where Jesus had taught his apostles and gathered together through the Holy Spirit. They grew in God's grace. They wanted more and more of it. They met consistently every day in a familiar public place where outsiders could also gather to hear this message. And the Lord added more to their group as they gathered. In the Hmong Fellowship Church of Vietnam, the Lord keeps adding more. They want more and more of this grace. They wanted instruction from that one well-trained Hmong pastor who then traveled to Vietnam to begin an instruction program 10 years ago. Then others became involved and other classes developed to explain the grace of God. We have a whole curriculum planned, have already taught them to see the grace of God in the Old Testament, to see the grace of God in the parables and teachings of Jesus, to experience the grace proclaimed through the letters of the Apostle Paul, to find the grace of God in the apocalyptic literature of the Old and New Testaments. We meet consistently, like the church, when we gather right now online through Zoom, but we gather at the same time for hours. And when we've finished one course, they want another. The Lord keeps adding more, and they want more to grow in joy and maturity like that church in Jerusalem. Consistently, we share with them the grace of God. Sometimes Christians look back on this account in the book of Acts, and we wax nostalgic about that early church with all its blessings. Why couldn't we have a church like that, where people loved one another and every day gathered for Bible study and shared the possessions that they had, and the love of Christ was evident in them? Well, we don't forget that these people, like us, had sinful natures, and Luke will turn the account in the book of Acts to show us those aspects. Here, he simply wanted to emphasize the great blessings all Christians enjoy. We have these gifts in the measure from God to which he has given them to enjoy. We share them with the Hmong Fellowship Church in Vietnam, and they too produce works of love that give evidence to others. Others have noticed in the Hmong community, those who have seen this love and this grace of God have also come to experience it by connecting themselves with our fellow believers there. Those in the traditionalist community that worship spirits in the rocks and the trees and the spirits of their ancestors, having experienced the grace of God in Jesus, burn the altars to their ancestors, cut off their ties with spiritism, and become another group added to the church. Others have experienced this and wanted more of it. Even government officials in Vietnam have noticed the effect the gospel training has had on this church, and they asked us to add more to it. The Lord keeps adding more. As Luke tells us, the Lord daily added to their number those who were being saved. It is the Lord's work using his people. We support it, encourage it, pray for it, help it. We send missionaries to do the work on our behalf, but the Lord produces the results. The Lord keeps adding more, and the Lord gives us more joy and encouragement. More and more and more. Amen. Please join in singing our hymn that celebrates us taking the gospel from the West and sharing it in the East. In Christ, there is no East or West.
Thank you.
God be praised for the opportunities we have to support the work of gospel outreach locally and throughout the world. God be praised for moving you to be generous with the gifts that He has given to you to do just that. We pray. Eternal God and Father, we give you thanks for the blessings we share as members of your holy church, for your gracious word and sacraments, for opportunities to worship and to grow in faith and knowledge, for occasions to serve and be served, for fellowship with believers in our congregation and in our synod.
Help us to rejoice in these blessings, dear Lord, and to use them faithfully.
Jesus Christ, Lord of the Church, you give grace to your people by calling us to be your witnesses in the world. Open our eyes to see the great and noble mission that lies before us. In the hurting eyes of the lonely, in the pained eyes of the sick, and in the searching eyes of the lost, help us to see your face, O Jesus, and to serve others as we would serve you.
Awaken us to the opportunities you give to proclaim your message of love.
Holy Spirit, giver of life, through word and sacrament, bestow on us the wisdom and power we need to witness clearly and to act boldly. Help us to speak the truth in love, to give the reason for the hope we have, and to conduct ourselves with gentleness and respect.
Set our hearts on fire as you work and witness for us.
Hear us, Lord, as we pray for a family member, an acquaintance, a neighbor, or a friend who does not believe in you or whose faith is weak or troubled. Bless the church with men and women who are willing to proclaim your word in places where we cannot go. Keep them and their loved ones in your care, and let nothing hinder their work. By the power of the gospel, restore their spirits each day, so that they do not lose heart as they serve us and others.
Move us to support them with our sincere prayers and generous offerings.
Lord, you love the cheerful giver, who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. Lord, we ask that you refresh the body and mind of Norma Pluckham, who had been in need of medical assistance this past week. Not only refresh her body as you will for her, above all, continue to refresh her mind and heart with the reminder that this health challenge does not change her status with you through Jesus. Thank you for watching over Morgan Wachtus, Nee Lederman, during the delivery of Palmer Joy. Bless Morgan and husband Zach as they look to raise Palmer in your ways, O Lord. As people were impacted by Hurricane Ian this past week in Florida and in other states in the southern part of the United States, we commend them to you for recovery emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Continue to supply them with what they need, helping to rebuild not only their lives, but also the infrastructure around them. You have told us we can expect storms and disasters such as these, and though not easy when they do come, remind us also of your promises to be with us always, and to use even disasters for good to come out of them. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, and for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other, as they reflect on the love you have for them. Wherever your word is proclaimed, O Lord, grant it success. Let your kingdom come to us and others, so that we and many more might join the assembly of saints and angels to sing your praise forever.
Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we turn now with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Thank you.
Take and drink, this is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Take and eat the body of the Lord.
Take and drink, this is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Take and drink, this is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Take and drink, this is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Take and drink, this is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Take and eat the body of the Lord. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus, even for your sins.
Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life in peace and with joy and with confidence, for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Morning again. Thank you for the continuing to fill out those connection cards, those blue cards that you find in the entryway, and returning them in the either in the boxes attached to the wall as you enter the church proper, or in that basket there in the lobby with the lamp on it on that table. And then also taking the time to meet and greet one another, especially seeking someone you don't know and saying hello to them and see where that conversation goes. And hello and thank you, Pastor Missionary Joel Nitz, for sharing God's word with us and also taking God's word to places like Vietnam. Thank you for that reminder. And we'll hear more about the work that he has been called to do, and not just himself, but our church body in the Lord's name, representing us, as starting at 9:30, he'll have a special presentation. And he does have pictures, too, so there you go. Even a little video. All right. Popcorn's being made. No, I'm just kidding. And there's coffee and cookies, though, in the back, so enjoy that in the meantime. And then our Sunday school hour will meet shortly right after this, and they'll start in the chapel with the sing-along, and then they'll go and hear and talk about God's Word in their respective room. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, just another push for the mission box as our rally in a couple of weeks draws closer. So thank you for your support of the missionary work that is supported through LWMS. And also note that this is the last opportunity to sign the rally coming up in Lodi. You can see more details there on the information board about that. We did have to cancel our community cook-off that was scheduled for next weekend. We have other connection events coming up this month and also in the fall, so we'll be pushing those efforts to reach out into our community. Then just regarding the people who have been impacted in one way or another in the southern part of our country, there's so many ways to support them. One way to do so is through Christian Aid and Relief. You can go to the Wells website and click on Christian Aid and Relief, and as they're collecting gifts. The benefit of working through Christian Aid and Relief, they work with larger national groups too, but we also work through our congregations there. And so it's an opportunity to share the love of Jesus as we help rebuild their physical life, but also at the same time, why we're doing that, to share the love of Jesus. So we're letting the local congregations coordinate those efforts, Christian Aid and Relief, our wider group that supports humanitarian efforts, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. They are involved in this process already. So you can learn more about how to support them monetarily through prayers, and then down the road, they'll be setting up relief teams to be part of the rebuilding process. You can learn more about that, again, through Christian Aid and Relief. See other details of what's going on here at church and school through the weekly news. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.